Merrick looked over to where the hunter who had walked off was now coming back, a small grey wand held ready.
Sir.
Good. Now, Laradai, the reason we let Mr. Kale in is that his tricky little team can be nasty customers if you don't control the environment. If we'd just taken down Mr. Kale out on the road, the rest of his team, wherever they were, might have attacked me, or they might have scattered and we'd never have seen them again. But in here... Now, Merrick.
Merrick nodded, and the other hunter triggered the wand. The air snapped and shimmered around all of them. When Westyke's vision cleared, the main room in which he had descended with Kale and the hunters had two more people in it. One of them was a pretty auburn-haired woman wearing the pale green travelling robes of a love priestess, while the other was a gangly man, also robed. Both looked very surprised.
In here, Laradai, we can capture all of the late Captain Locke's infamous band of thieves in one fell swoop, Westyke said. Here we have the Death Priestess, Desidora, whose power is quite dangerous to you and me, but...
As Desidora stepped forward and raised a hand, Commander Merrick raised his spear to her throat.
Useless against hunters.
The last time a hunter tried to kill me, it went very poorly for him, Desidora said coldly,
and her robes and hair suddenly darkened to black, even as her face went deathly pale. Westyke chuckled.
Yes, dear, but when you fought that hunter, the actual hunter Mirka, whose armour your friend Kale is currently wearing, you wielded Gil's power, a weapon carrying the soul of the ancients. And since the ancients are, how shall I put this, my team, your threat carries a lot less weight. You might be able to suck my soul out of my body, but according to Gil's power, you're quite fond of this Kale fellow. Mirka.
Commander Merrick moved his spear to Kale's throat, and Desidora glared, then slowly stepped back. Her robe slid back to green, and her hair went back to the very pretty auburn Westyke liked, although it still seemed a touch darker than normal.
And this, Westyke said, pointing at the robed man, is the wizard Hessler, a failed university student who is nevertheless quite good at illusions. Technically, I was reinstated and continued my coursework via correspondence, Hessler said. And while I think it's a travesty that this distance learning program doesn't include an honors course. The bard is, of course, the unicorn Ululenia,
Westyke continued, gesturing absently with his walking stick at the white dove that still clung to the perch and the now overturned silver cage. The hunter who had held the illusion-dispelling wand raised its spear, and the wizard Hessler shut up.
I can only imagine it thought that attacking the Forge of the Ancients must have seemed like an attractive option, a chance to take revenge for the deaths of what it thought of as its family.
The bird held very still.
How brave of it to allow itself to be caged in silver, don't you think, Laradai, given how much it harms them?
Laradai said.
That is, unless the cage isn't real silver,
Westyke went on and gestured. The hunter who had punched Kale drew out a net of silver that crackled with magical energy and tossed it over the cage without ceremony, and the bird flapped frantically before going still.
You trapped them all? Laradai said, looking very impressed.
So it appears, Westyke agreed. Or most of them, in any event. They also have an imperial acrobat who is yet to make an appearance, as well as an alchemist and crystal expert who goes by the name Turn. I'm surprised that she wouldn't have been part of this little operation given her expertise with crystals. Doesn't that surprise you, Laradai?
I think so.
Laradai. That's sort of a funny name, isn't it? I mean, I don't really know what the Untitled are calling their children these days, but Laradai...
Westyke passed his lips.
You know, it strikes me that Laradai, in one of the old kingdom languages, it's the name of a group of bards.
Laradai blinked.
Like a flock, sir?
Like an overarching list of species, Westyke said, smiling thinly. Including a number of coastal seabirds, such as the common gull and the tern.
Laradai reached toward her pocket, but the gauntleted hand of a hunter closed over hers.
The alchemist, the death priestess, the illusionist, and the unicorn,
Westyke said, chuckling again. Laradai, or Tern, really, was flanked by hunters that had come at Mirok's signal.
Plus Mr. Kale, I suppose. The linchpin of the plan, the man who the rest of you actually expected to get into the Forge of the Ancients, the sacred chamber where we prepare for their return, just by talking convincingly.
Westyke smiled broadly at all of them.
I have to know, and please, you have nothing to lose from being honest here. Did you actually think this would work? Or...
He frowned at the Orijar man, who still knelt on the ground, a spear at his throat.
Was he supposed to be a terrible liar, so that we would spend time focusing on him and miss the rest of you? That might actually be up to the standards I was told to expect.
You were told? Hessler asked, squinting.
Kale's power. Desidora went pale again in anger. He's with them. Of course he told them all about us.
Bit hard to do when he only has a three-phrase vocabulary, Kale said.
This is what you don't get, all of you, Westyke said,
as more hunters crossed the walkway to take them all into custody.
You have little tricks, some of them quite cunning in a common sort of way. We have a network of information on all possible enemies. We have a forge that has been running for hundreds of years, recovering the energy those fairy parasites stole from the artifacts of our masters. We have resources you cannot possibly understand.
We understand more about the ancients than you might think.
Desidora's voice was cold and hard.
Yes, you don't like that they're coming back, Westyke said,
as more hunters filed into the room.
And your Captain Locke, a noble in her own right, thought she could stand against them. But then she died, didn't she?
He smiled and twirled his walking stick, stepping in close and leaning over Kale, who still knelt with a spear at his throat.
Your illustrious thief captain died of a crossbow bolt through the heart. Do you know what the mark of a weaker mind is, Mr. Kale?
Gloating, Kale asked.
Westyke shook his head sadly.
Your captain died a common criminal, Mr. Kale, and you had the chance to learn from her example, to correct your course and accept the coming of the ancients with dignity. Instead, like all weak minds do, you continue to believe something, even when faced with clear evidence to the contrary.
Behind Westyke, one of the forge's status alarms began to chime.
So, just as an example of this weak minds thing, Kale said, the way your mother keeps going back to your father, even though she knows I'm better between the sheets, that counts, right?
What?
Westyke turned to the chimes and then back to Kale.
Look, I'm just saying your mother deserves better. Deeper.
Westyke stepped past Commander Merrick, who had the foul-mouthed thug at spearpoint, and raised his hand to strike. Just then, the forge status alarms went off again, and this time it was a squealing shriek, and not a gentle chime. For one moment, Westyke was paralyzed by both rage and confusion, and that was when Kale stood up and punched the nobleman in the face. Westyke reeled backward, watching the next few moments in dazed horror. Commander Mirok moved to stab Kale, but his spear had somehow become tangled with the spear of one of the other hunters. The hunter who had held Hessler at spear point ran the wizard through, only to see Hessler shimmer and vanish as it did.
That's impossible, Westyke shouted, looking around frantically.
More alarms were blaring out in the forge, and the lights were wrong. Looking up, Westyke saw that the dangling teardrop crystals, whose radiance nurtured the growth of crystals below, were swinging wildly, and there seemed to be a man-sized figure leaping from chain to chain, barely visible so far away.
"Yes, you did nullify all the illusions with that wand," came a voice from right beside Westyke.
He spun, dimly aware that Commander Mirok had gone sailing off the walkway and crashed down to the forge below.
The only way someone could carry on an illusion, the voice continued, as Westyke swung at the empty air with his walking stick, including the illusion of all his illusions being dispelled, would be if his cute girlfriend had switched out your wand a while back.
Bolts of blue-white light crackled across the two hunters flanking Tarn, and the hunters dropped to the ground as Hessler shimmered into view behind them.
"Also, it takes me a bit of time to prepare," Hessler said to Westyke. "But I can manage a bit more than just illusions."
"Surprise!" Tarn called. "Also, you're a terrible boss."
"Kill them!" Westyke shouted, not entirely certain who he was shouting at. "Merrick's going after Ululenia!" Kale shouted,
and the hunter, whose spear had tangled up Merrick's, ran from the room, took a few stuttering steps, and vaulted over the railing down to the forge below. This was insane. Westyke looked up and saw that the man up in the ceiling crystals was still up there. More worryingly, several of the ceiling crystals were no longer glowing green and were instead pulsing an angry red.
"Kill the unicorn!" Westyke snapped to the hunter,
who had tried to stab the illusionary Hessler and was now holding Desidora at spear point. The actual Hessler stood between Tarn and several hunters, energy crackling through his fingers. The hunter looked down at the silver birdcage and the dove trapped inside.
"This is not a fairy creature. This is an actual bird."
Westyke blinked.
"But Merrick would have
detected the aura of magic around it," Desidora finished, smiling brightly. "Yes, unless a death priestess were nearby to manipulate the bird's aura and generate a false positive."
The hunter turned back to her, and Tarn lobbed a pouch at it. It parried the pouch with its spear, which just made the pouch break open and spill some sort of sparkling powder all over the golem, who then stumbled back, twitching and shuddering. Kale took the spear from the creature, rammed the butt of the weapon into its helmet, and sent it crashing to the ground.
"Ice is almost done up there," he shouted. "Ululenia, you got that thing open yet?"
Westyke saw more hunters approaching.
"Stop them!"
he yelled, and stumbled back to the walkway. Almost all the ceiling crystals glowed an angry red now. On the conveyor belt, Commander Merrick now appeared to be fighting the hunter, whose spear had gotten tangled with its own. Merrick had enhancements far beyond those of a normal hunter. Its spear could chop through stone, and its reflexes were faster than any human's. It seemed to have the rogue hunter on the defensive, beating it back with stabs and slashes. Then the other hunter stumbled. Merrick lunged in, and the hunter parried the thrust, grabbed Merrick's shoulder, and hurled the golem directly into the hunter assembly chamber, using its own spear to pin Merrick inside.
"No," Westyke said,
as a lot of multicolored smoke poured from the chamber, along with sparks and bits of crystal.
"No,"
he said again, as he looked at the containment cylinders, almost full from a month of capturing fairy creatures. Energy was leaking out, glittering white with swirls and sparkles in all the colors of the rainbow. Standing before the broken cylinders with its horn blazing brilliantly was a snowy white unicorn.
"No, no, no!"
Westyke ran along the walkway, shifting his dragon-headed walking stick to a fighting grip. He could fix this. He could stop this. Something caught his foot, and he tripped, fell, and slid on a glossy black stone. Shoving himself back to his feet, he turned to see what had grabbed him. It was the hunter who had fought Merrick, pulling itself over the railing and up onto the walkway.
"It's not possible," Westyke said,
his voice ragged. Alarms blared all around him.
"She's dead. There were reports. There were witnesses. She's dead. She took a crossbow bolt to the heart and died."
"A trick bolt, some illusionary blood, and a very convincing death priestess," said the hunter, and removed its helmet. The face underneath was that of a dark-skinned woman, her face striking and hard, even as she smiled. "What is it they say about weak minds?"
"Captain Locke," Westyke said, and swallowed. "I don't know what you wanted to do, but you cannot possibly succeed. The ancients are returning."
"So I've heard."
"And you cannot stop that. Your efforts will only hurt the common folk you profess to care about."
Westyke shifted his grip on his walking stick, eyes wide and pleading.
"If you cannot put aside your old grudges to help the ancients return, surely you can at least go to ground and live quietly in peace."
She seemed to consider it, just as Westyke had hoped. His thumb flicked the catch just below the dragon's head on his walking stick, and the hidden blade slid free from the stick scabbard as Westyke lunged at Locke's throat. Something hit his wrist, and then something hit his knee, and then something even harder hit his face, and Westyke flopped on the ground with sparks dancing across his vision. "Thanks," said Locke, and blinking, Westyke saw that she was holding his walking stick. "Just needed to see how the blade came out. Ululenia, I see." "They are free, little one," came a voice in Westyke's mind, and the unicorn shimmered into the form of a shining white dove. The captured magic now poured freely from the containment cylinders, white with sparkling rainbow patterns that matched the unicorn's still blazing horn. An imperial man landed on the walkway in a roll that brought him back to his feet, golden robes billowing around him.
"I recommend haste," he said to Locke, and then turned to Westyke and added, "and possibly cover."
Locke turned and walked back toward the ascending floor, where Tern, Hessler, Desidora and Kale faced off against a half-dozen hunters.
"Hey, I see. Remember how hunters don't have souls and aren't considered living creatures for your oath of non-violence?"
"I do,"
Icy said, and drove his fists through a pair of hunters as he ploughed into them. Locke body-checked another, and yet another fell to another pouch filled with a strange powder. The last two fell when a snowy white bear landed upon them before shimmering back into its unicorn form. Locke joined the rest of her thieves in the ascending room as Westyke struggled back to his feet.
"I understand that the ancients have a network with resources I cannot possibly imagine," she said. "Let them know I'm alive and that I have a message for them."
Overhead, the dome of the forge exploded. Westyke fell, scrambling beneath the railing under the walkway, as earth and crystal came crashing down, amid shrieks of alarms and enormous gut-churning roars of stone and magic collapsing. Crystals exploded, stone cracked, and the air hissed with smoke and lightning. Westyke huddled, sheltered, and watched the forge of the ancients fall. He had no idea how long it went on, only that the walkway left him safe and protected, as most of the plummeting destruction was focused upon the containment cylinders and the ancient apparatus that constructed the hunters. The only energy not dissipating wildly was the brilliant glittering auras of the fairy creatures, which spiraled up into the light. Westyke watched it, the pretty tendrils soothing and somehow joyous even amid the destruction, and only gradually did he realize what he was seeing. The light that the energy was floating up to was not the ceiling, but the sky. The great dome had been blown open to the world, the remains of countless years of secret work exposed to the harsh light of day. He looked back to the ascending room and saw Locke give him a salute with a walking stick, his walking stick, as she continued to rise. Sitting in the middle of the rubble, Handel Westyke wondered if the room would descend again, or if he was going to have to climb out by himself. Hestridge wasn't coming to pick him up until 4:30.